Greg, thanks so much. I'm in the dressing room now with John Kimura Parker. We just heard a ravishing performance of Gershwin's Concerto in F for piano and orchestra. I've watched your career unfold over the last 20, 30 years. George Gershwin seems to be very much in your wheelhouse.
Well, I've had these wonderful opportunities to play both the Concerto in F and Rhapsody in Blue, which are pieces that to me are just so much fun to play. And I find it really interesting. I often start a concert season in September playing a lot of Brahms and a lot of Beethoven. And then somehow when we get into the holiday season, we get a little bit more into lighter repertoire. And I've been playing Rachmaninoff Paganini Rhapsody lately. But the Gershwin Concerto in F is very special to me. It, first of all, features the whole orchestra in many, many different ways. I mean, trumpet solos, clarinet trios, a beautiful oboe solo, even a brief concertmaster solo in the second movement. And this is the Philadelphia Orchestra. So, I mean, I couldn't ask to hear any of these solos and just that incredible sound of the orchestra and the strings. I mean, I just couldn't ask for anything to be as good as that. And you have to keep in mind that Gershwin, you know, when he wrote Rhapsody in Blue, he did not have the confidence to orchestrate it. And he sort of had somebody else, Ferdi Groffé, do it for him. So it was a big, big deal for Gershwin to actually orchestrate Concerto in F. And, you know, we take it for granted that all the classical composers, of course, the orchestration was part of their conception of the piece. But Gershwin came from more of a Broadway sort of composer style. And, you know, where often you would write down all the notes, but somebody else would choose the instruments. And Gershwin in the Concerto in F committed to orchestrating it. And it's a huge success. It's very enthusiastically orchestrated. I mean, he really wanted to feature everybody as much as he could.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere that William Walton was so impressed with it that he complimented him on it.
Absolutely. I mean, actually, in some cases, there are some effects that you would almost be taught you shouldn't do this, and he does it. He asks clarinets to do like this, which is a strange thing, or he asks horn players to go like that. I mean, you wouldn't normally do that, but you end up getting these really unusual sound effects from the orchestra. And of course, if it's the Philadelphia Orchestra, they can all play it.
That they can, and quite well indeed. You know, what I find so astonishing is about the orchestration is that it was barely 2 years from the Rhapsody in Blue. He learned very quickly and very instinctively.
Yeah, he sure did. I mean, obviously, Gershwin had a very clear idea of the kind of sounds that he wanted to make. And he was so famously inspired by New York and the sounds of New York and the sounds of being on a train. I mean, that was something that inspired him in Rhapsody in Blue, was just hearing the sound of the wheels on the tracks. And there's so much of this kind of urban energy, obviously the jazz age, and Gershwin being in a way a perfect synthesis of the jazz world and the classical world and the Broadway world. I mean, it's all there in that piece. And in particular, in the Concerto in F, he actually writes a work with three movements, very distinct movements, a real first movement, a very contrasting, beautiful, lyrical second movement, and then, as you just heard, that brilliant finale.
Oh, it's just incredible. I like to think of Gershwin as maybe one of the very first crossover artists.
I think in a big way that's true. I mean, he really felt it was sweet in a way. I think his gift was so much in songwriting and harmony writing and reflecting jazz in different ways. But he so desperately wanted to be taken seriously as a classical composer. It inspired him to seek out the best teachers, and he met up with composers all the time, and he wanted advice from them. I mean, he just really wanted to be a better composer.
Well, he must have gone to France at least once, because there's the famous story about the meeting with Stravinsky, and Stravinsky asked him how much money he was making.
Right, and Stravinsky said, maybe I should study with you.
Yeah, that story is wonderful, but Paris in the 20s was the perfect place to go because so much was happening musically there.
Of course, and there he was, an American in Paris, and that's another one of his works. So, I mean, it was really for him, it must have been so exciting to be in this world and to have the gift and the genius that he had. And we sometimes forget about the tragedy of his early death. You know, I think we look at Schubert and Mozart, and, you know, we often think of composers from that era. You know, what would it have been like if Mozart had lived another 20 years? You know, what would he have written? And I have that same feeling about Gershwin. What if he had lived another 20 or 30 years? What would his music have evolved into?
Well, he went in for so many things. He was doing film scores. He was doing Broadway shows. I'd like to think that if he'd lived longer, a symphony would have come out of it somewhere.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he was headed in that direction just by, he was, of course, so comfortable writing for the piano and a great pianist. And so it's natural that the piano concerto became an outlet for him. But of course, the symphonic repertoire would have been next. You're right.
And I think Tin Pan Alley must have been the perfect education for him.
Absolutely. I mean, he was, a song pusher. I mean, just sitting at an upright piano and pounding out songs so that the publisher could sell sheet music. I mean, that was one of his first gigs.
I like to think that this is kind of a signature work for you.
Well, I love to play it, and I don't know. I mean, I think maybe some of my colleagues feel that to be taken seriously, they should stick to the Germanic and the Russian greats and all that. And I mean, I play that repertoire all the time. But for me, I've played the concerto in F all over Europe, all over Australia, in Japan, and I really, truly love to play it.
Well, thanks for taking a few minutes. We really appreciate it. And wonderful performance of the Gershwin. It was just astonishingly beautiful. Greg, back to you in the WRTI broadcast booth.